peace with God.
A robot has hitchhiked its way across Canada. You heard right. Its name is Hitchbot. It's made out of a plastic bucket, some swimming pool noodles, and a pretty smart computer. So it could talk with people, but it couldn't move itself. It had no control over which road it took. You, however, do.
The path you've chosen looks right. It looks so good. But one of these days, unless you're committed to Christ and in the will of God, you'll soon find out that you're on the wrong road.
This is Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer, and as you'll learn in today's message from Billy Graham, the Bible helps you know which road to travel in life. And that, says his daughter Ann Graham Lotz, is because the Bible is the Word of God.
It's the Word of God that convicts us of our sin, and it's the Word that tells us we need a Savior.
You'll hear more of Ann's teaching on the importance of reading the Bible right after her dad's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message here on Peace with God is titled Choices. Billy Graham delivered it during his 1986 crusade in Tallahassee, Florida. And it comes from this Bible verse, Joshua 24:15.
Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice. Joshua voted. Now, Joshua had led the people of Israel after the death of Moses. He was a great general. And now, at the end of his life, he's called all the people together at Shechem. Now, Shechem was between two mountains. One was the mountain of law, and the other one was another mountain. And between those two mountains, they gathered. Now, the history of Israel was always up and down. For a little while, they'd serve the Lord, and then they would fall back in their old ways and go to their old idols. And in this case, it was Baal. And he was telling them, you've got to make a choice. It's between Baal and God. Which is it going to be? Who do you vote for? Now, outwardly, the followers of God, but deep in their hearts, they were idolaters. And Joshua says that such a condition cannot continue. You must decide whether you're going to worship those idols or worship the living God. And they must decide immediately. That was Israel's day of election, Israel's day of decision. They must go on record for God or against Him. And you must decide tonight. There are hundreds of people here tonight that have to decide tonight. And your decision tonight, yes or no, will decide where you'll be 100 years from now. Because you see, only one God can occupy the throne of your heart. The scripture says, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, we have idolatry today in subtle ways. Our actors and actresses and academics many times, and even athletes, can very easily, subtly become our gods. Richard Phelps wrote in Time magazine, with regard to the cocaine deaths of sports superstars, he said, the trouble is that Americans tend to think of athletes as godlike beings. And sometimes that is true. We make too much of some of the young players, and these young players sometimes just cannot take it, and they crack up. Because it takes experience and maturity to take all the money and all the fame so suddenly, at such a young age. And Paul taught that a Christian is someone who has turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. A Christian is an idol breaker. We're to break up the idols and put our faith and our confidence in Christ. But regardless of what the people did, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care if the whole outfit turns against God. I don't care if all of you turn to idolatry. My house and me, we're going to serve the true and the living God. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, I'm going to serve Christ no matter what my peers think or what my classmates think or what the people that I work with think or my neighbors? Robert Browning exclaimed 100 years ago, this business of life is made up of terrible choices. And it is. We have to make some of these choices in our lives. Adam had to make that choice. Was he going to build his world with God and have peace in the world and justice in the world? Or was he going to go his own way? He decided to go his own way and to listen to the devil. And he led the whole world astray. The rich young ruler came to Jesus wanting to find some spiritual help. And Jesus said, all right, would you like to have eternal life? Well, the rich young ruler said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, if you want eternal life, you do this and this and this and this. The rich young ruler left sadly because he couldn't pay the price, and Jesus would not bargain with him. Every person that ever lived has to make the same choice. It's either the world and its pleasures and its gods, or it's Christ. Which is it for you? Now, first, we must choose two ways of life, between two ways. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Which road are you on? Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the way. Come to Christ. He will give you a new strength and a new power and a new joy and a new peace and a purpose for living. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It looks right, that road you're on. The path you've chosen looks right. It looks so good. But one of these days, unless you're committed to Christ and in the will of God, you'll soon find out that you're on the wrong road. Some people say, well, if I follow my conscience, isn't that enough? No, because your conscience can be dead. Many people have a dead conscience. But when you come to Jesus Christ, He resensitizes the conscience. You see, you tell a lie when you're a child and your conscience bothers you. Now you can look a person straight in the face and tell a lie and it doesn't bother you at all. There was a time when you do some other things that bother you. Now you can do it and it doesn't bother you. You say, well, that's not so bad then. Your conscience doesn't bother you. Why? Because your conscience has been seared or it's dead. But when you come to Christ, He gives you a new conscience so that you can be sensitive to those things that are wrong. Or people say, well, being sincere, if I'm sincere in life, isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. You can be sincere. My mother was very sincere one time when I was sick, and she gave me some iodine by mistake and made me swallow it. And when she saw I was about to die, she called the doctor, and the doctor said, give him some cream, some milk. And I never tasted anything so wonderful in my life as that cream that my mother gave me from that glass. She was sincere. She thought she was giving me cough medicine. But it was wrong, sincerely wrong. Or they say, well, if I do so many good things for people and I smile at people and I'm friendly with people, don't you think God understands if I commit a little sin now and again and He'll understand. He's a good God. He's a loving God and all that. No, God doesn't understand. If you know Christ, then those sins are forgiven. But you see, we are not saved by our goodness and our own works. You're saved by the grace of God, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I was saved by my own goodness, I'd get up to heaven and walk around and brag and say, look what I did to get here. I was a good boy. But we're all sinners. None of us deserve to be in heaven. God says that we're to be as holy as He is. I can't be as holy as God. So what happens? Christ came and died on the cross and shed His blood to provide for me a holiness that I do not naturally have. And He provides a cloth of holiness for me and righteousness that I don't deserve. Then there are people say, well, I reformed. Yes, you can reform the rest of your life, but that's not it. You must come to Christ and you must enter the narrow gate and walk the narrow road. So there's a choice that you have. You have to vote one life or the other. Which will it be? A life of surrender to Christ as Lord and Savior, or a life in which you surrender to yourself and your own desires and your own pleasures and your own lust and your own greed and your own jealousies?
That is such an important question. You know, surrendering to anything other than Jesus will leave you empty. But surrendering to Jesus will give your life new meaning and real hope. You can learn more by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on Grow Your Faith, or by calling us at 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You'll also learn more by listening to the rest of Billy Graham's message, which is coming up in just a moment.
Listen to how Lowell came to Christ, then take a guess on which person played the biggest part in making it happen.
One time when I was 6 or 7, there was an evangelist that came, and he was a former criminal. He talked about his life and how he received Christ, and he was on his way to heaven. He had assurance of eternal life. At the end of that service, he asked for anybody that wanted to receive Christ, and I raised my hand.
But no one saw Lowell's raised hand in the crowd. So,
after the service, our pastor stopped me at the door. He said, "I saw you raise your hand," and he said, "Did you really mean that?" "Yes."
And then?
He talked to my dad, and my dad had talked to me, went home, talked more about it, and I prayed and I asked Jesus in my heart. That's how I received Christ.
More than one person brought Lowell to Christ, but the place where all the pieces came together was his church. And that's where the My Hope with Billy Graham 2014 outreach begins. Because your church knows the best way to reach your community. Learn more at myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Peace with God. Thousands of churches across the United States, Canada, and England are gearing up for a major outreach this fall. They're participating in My Hope with Billy Graham 2014. They'll use a short film and other resources from My Hope, but they'll come up with their own specific plan for sharing Jesus with their local community. During last year's outreach, several churches in Charlotte, North Carolina, helped a crisis pregnancy center host My Hope gatherings for its clients.
We coordinated with some partnering churches to provide a meal, and we scheduled 3 different showings, one for our adults, one for teens, and one for our Spanish-speaking clients.
Chris Bristow is the client services coordinator at the Pregnancy Resource Center of Charlotte. She says after everyone ate dinner and watched the My Hope program, a PRC staff member or volunteer shared their own story of the hope they found in Jesus.
I loved being able to share the truth of my past, that what the enemy meant for destruction, the Lord turned into a beautiful opportunity to share his love and bring him glory.
God used Chris's story, her coworkers' stories, and the My Hope program to touch people's hearts.
There were a lot of tears, a lot of laughter, but most of all, there was no mistaking the Holy Spirit's presence in that room.
Chris says about 20 people accepted Christ through the My Hope outreach at the Pregnancy Resource Center last year. And this year?
I will say absolutely that the Pregnancy Resource Center will be participating in My Hope with Billy Graham again this November. It's just a wonderful tool to use for the glory of God and His kingdom.
You can hear more of Chris's story about My Hope. Just go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Stories and Interviews. To learn more about My Hope with Billy Graham 2014, go to myhopewithbillygraham.org. That's myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Choices. You make them every day. Some are much more important than others. Billy Graham just explained the importance of choosing a life that's devoted to Jesus Christ. Now he explains you must choose between two masters.
Jesus said no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and materialism. You have to make a choice. It's either self or Christ. Which will it be? Not only two ways of life, not only two masters, but also you have to choose between two destinies. What is your destiny? Where will you be 50, 100 years from tonight? You'll be somewhere. The real you, your body will be in the grave perhaps, but you, the real you, your soul, your spirit, the thing that thinks and remembers and loves and so forth, that's the part of you that will live forever, either in heaven or hell, and you've got to make a choice between the two. Solomon wrote about the way to hell in Proverbs 7. C.S. Lewis, the great Cambridge and Oxford professor, used to emphasize that no one ever had so much to say about the way to hell as did Jesus Christ, and he was right. We stay in a lot of hotels, and they're raising something in the other rooms. You can hear them on the weekends. But it's not hell. May sound like it, may act like it, but that's not it. The real thing is 10,000 times worse. On the other hand, no one ever spoke of heaven with such clarity and authority as did Jesus Christ, because there is a constant battle for your soul going on all the time. You see, your soul is important to the devil. He wants your soul. He'll pay any price. And some of you are selling your soul so cheaply. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil will give you the whole world if you'll follow him. But some of you will follow him and he won't give you anything. You're just following him because you're like the pig that's following the man that's dropping the beans, going to the slaughter pen. Every little bit he drops a bean and the pig goes following right along. And you don't even think that you're following the devil in the wrong direction. And then this choice or this vote that you make has got to be yourself. You must make that vote yourself. For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now Joshua didn't hesitate for one moment to preach to those people. He said, as for me and my house, he was voting for Christ, for God. He knew that he could not choose for the tribes of Israel. They must choose for themselves. He had to choose for himself. Man is a social being. However, there is an inner sanctuary within us where we retire from all of the fellowship, all of the influences. There's a lonely arena in the depths of your heart where the greatest battle of life must be fought alone. That's your decision about Christ. Your parents can't make it for you. The church can't make it for you. Your friends can't make it for you. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend can't make it for you. You have to make it yourself. You must make the commitment. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You choose life, that you and your seed may live. It affects future generations. It affects your children and your grandchildren. A decision that my grandfathers made years ago affects my life today. We read that a generation earlier, Moses had chosen Christ. And the writer to the Hebrews recounts how Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. He could have been commander-in-chief of the armies of Egypt, or he might have been the Pharaoh. All the education, all the wealth of Egypt was his. He turned his back on all of it to suffer with the people of God. He chose God. Who are you choosing? Who are you voting for? Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh yes, there's pleasure in sin for a short time. But it's soon over. The hangover comes. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to be there. Choose Christ, and there'll never be a hangover except joy and peace. That doesn't mean that he'll deliver you from all your troubles and problems and trials, because that will go on and on. But they may be different. God allows them. That's a part of our maturing process. That's how God trains us. But down deep inside is a deep river of joy and peace in the midst of the life that you're living. Now, you can't change your past, but you can determine your destiny by deciding for Christ. But Christ can change your past. He died on the cross so that all the sins you've ever committed, all the things you've ever done wrong, are forgiven. And when God says they're forgiven, he means more than we mean. He means justification. That means just as if you had never committed any sin at all. That's the power of the blood of Christ. I know my sins are under the blood. And the choice involves a price. The Apostle Peter wrote, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The price that Jesus paid on the cross when he shed his life blood for you. Martin Luther once said, the founder of, I suppose, the Reformation, and the founder of, we could say, almost one of the founders of Protestantism and certainly of the Lutheran churches. He said, when I look at myself, I don't know how I can be saved, but when I look at Jesus, I don't see how I could be lost. John Calvin, who founded Reformed theology in one sense, and the Presbyterian Church said, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I hang my whole eternity. I hang it on Jesus. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, when he lay dying, said, my mind is almost gone. I can remember only two things. I'm a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. Christ is a great Savior. What do you have to do? You have to repent of your sins. That means to be willing to change your way of living. You may have no power to do it. You may not have power to give up some of those habits you know are wrong. You may not have power to fall in love with your wife again. You may not have power to change your whole life that you know needs to be changed. But if you surrender to Christ, He'll give you the power. You say, well, Billy, I don't know what else to do. I've been baptized, I joined the church and so forth, but I don't really have peace and joy and power in my life, all that you're talking about. How do I get it? If you're not sure that you're ready to meet God, if you're not sure you're going to heaven and you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, you come and make sure tonight. I believe that none of you are here by accident tonight. I believe that you're here on this particular night because this is the night that you are to meet God in a new way and receive Him into your heart. And it's an urgent decision because to delay makes the right decision harder. Indecision in itself is a choice. Not to decide is to decide not to. If you have a ticket for a flight to Atlanta tonight and can't decide whether to go or not, if you wait past the departure time, the choice will have been made. The plane will take off without you. Decisions are made whether we make them or not. Time decides if you will not. And time always decides against you. Joel said, put you in the sickle for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. Come now while you can. You may not have a chance tomorrow. Today is the day to cast your vote totally for Christ.
How about you? Would you like to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life right now, right where you are? You can go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith to learn more. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or if you'd like someone to pray personally with you, give us a call at 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
As Billy Graham pointed out in his message today, you have a lot of opportunities to choose God's way or some other way. Now his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, shares some more insight on the importance of choosing God's way.
Isaiah 1:4 says, O sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have turned their backs on Him. Isaiah bluntly called sin the way he saw it. And more importantly, because he was a prophet of God, he called sin the way God saw it. Sin is what's wrong in our world today. And the primary solution to sin is a Savior who will take away that sin and make people right with God. Think about it. It's the Word of God that convicts us of our sin. And it's the Word that tells us we need a Savior. And it's the Word that proclaims salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Read the Word, then share it with someone else. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
You can listen back to Ann's teaching and her dad's message anytime you like. Just give us a call and ask for the free CD copy of today's edition of Peace with God. The number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. The call and the CD are free. Next week here on Peace with God, the importance of living your life totally committed to God.
What are we committed to? What do we believe in? What are you giving your life to? What are you living for? What's life all about? Are you putting the emphasis in the right things?
You will definitely be challenged by next week's message. This program is one of the many ways the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association takes the message of Jesus Christ to people around the world. And you can be a part of that mission through your prayers and financial support. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can give over the phone. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Thanks so much for being with us for this edition of Peace with God. Make plans to join us again next week. I'm Bill Meyer.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.